Ephesians 4, beginning with verse number 11, Paul writing says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of a stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Will you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come to You, the reading of Your Word is powerful. Even just the mere reading of Your Word has the power to draw people, the power to pierce hearts, the power to convict. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit would be real here this morning. I pray that He would go forth, rest upon each individual here in this service. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would listen to what He is saying to us. Not what Mike's saying, but what the Spirit is revealing to each and every one individual. What the Spirit is placing upon their heart and upon their mind as a result of what these words that Paul has written to the Ephesians here. I pray that we would grasp it, that we would understand it, and that we would apply it to our lives. I pray now, Heavenly Father, as we listen to the expounding, to the exposing of what Your Word means, pray that we would be attentive. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would seek to honor You with our lives. We ask all these things in Your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have the Bible app, it is there in our bulletin. You can pull it right up and walk right through this sermon with me. It's an option that you have. The sermon title is "Together We Grow Stronger." It is something that we just do. We grow stronger together. Each individual is placed here by God for a specific purpose, and that is to help others grow. And as we consider this title, "Together We Grow," I do have one question that I want to begin asking you this morning. And that is, what is the key, in your opinion, what is the key to church growth? What is the most important key to church growth? Everybody, if you would ask, everyone in here would say, we want our church to grow. Well, what is the key in making that happen? In seeing that become a reality, what is the key to church growth? Many will say, hey, Mike, we need to be strong evangelists. We need to be going out here in the community, knocking on doors. We need to live in our work as though it is worship, so people can see us when we're working on a daily basis. They can see that whatever we're doing unto the Lord. We're doing it as though we are working unto the Lord, and people are seeing our devotion and our dedication as to how we are living our life, so that our work is worship. And so that we're sharing God's grace to others through our employment. Some people will say it's evangelism. Others will say, hey Mike, it's discipleship. We need to be about making disciples here in our church. We need to have a process, and we need to have meetings where not only here at the church, like Sunday morning Bible study, but even at your homes, whenever it's available to you, or whenever you have time, whenever you can have a meeting of like-minded people to do a Bible study together, you need to have that opportunity and make that become a reality. That is part of discipleship. Some of you may say it's discipleship. That's the key to church growth. Others will say, Mike, we need a fantastic worship service, which includes not only singing, but also preaching. You need to have the latest, greatest sermon illustrations. You need to have it alliterated. You need to have not only every point alliterated, but you need to have subpoints to the points alliterated. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We can do all of that. Some of you may say that's the key to church growth. Some of you may say, no, Mike, the key to growing a church is the ministries that we have available. It is serving others. And some of you may say, hey, Mike, the key to growing a church is fellowshipping, getting the group together and fellowshipping one with another. But what is the key? What is the key to church growth? What I want to tell you this morning is not something that you don't already know. Church health is the key to church growth. Church health is the key to church growth. Now, does anybody here know right off the top of their head how many systems we have in our body? We got a skeletal system, digestive system, neural system. What other systems do we have? How many do we have? Nervous, respiratory. Here we go. This is called Sermon Interactive 101 right here with my main man, Ian Bird, up here, okay? So, yeah, we have these systems. When your child was born, if they did not continue to grow, did you get worried? Did you look at that child and say something is wrong, we need to carry them to the doctor because they are lagging behind where people or children of their same age, their same birth date, they're lagging behind? Would that not concern you, mom, dad, grandparents? Would that concern you? If they're not growing at the rate of other kids their age? Well, here's what I know. Healthy organisms grow. They just do by nature of being healthy. They are going to grow. So as we look and as we consider what the key is for growing a church, I say to you, it is the health of the church is the key to growth. So I ask you this, based upon me saying that, church health is the key to growth. What do you think about that statement? What does that mean to you when I say church health? Do you agree or do you disagree with that as a statement or with that as an assumption or with that as a hypothesis, if you will, about what the key is to church growth? And then I would ask you, what does Scripture say about what is the key to church growth? Here in Ephesians, Paul has a lot to say about growing. He has a lot to say about why churches are here. And why pastors are here. And what ministry is here for. As we look at this, and we've already read this, I want you to look in verse number 14. Because I want to first talk to you about the problem in ministry today. And it's nothing that is specific to this era. It's what has been the problem in all church eras. The problem in church ministry, if you look there in verse number 14, verse number 14 talks about how members are not maturing. How members are not maturing. In fact, members or people are being tossed to and fro as though they were children. What are they being tossed around to and fro by? I want you to look at three things that Paul is writing how these people were being tossed around. They were being tossed around by waves and wind of doctrine. They were being tossed around by other people's ideas about what doctrine is. Now, I know that we are settled and established in what we believe here at Tallapoosa First Baptist. So I would not think that we would have this issue to be dealing with. We are sound in our Baptist doctrine. We are sound in it. So I don't think that we would be tossed around by doctrine. I would certainly hope that we would not be tossed around by human cunning. But as I look at the way that our businesses have been built around churches, okay, if you look out there, there are a lot of businesses that have been established for one cause, and that is to make money at the expense of the church. They want to provide you opportunities and the next best thing to make people come to your church. They have these ways or these means of pulling people in. Human cunning. But it's not only other people. I believe that some of them, if not, I would hope that many of them would not have cunning and specific greed at the heart of what they're doing. But I'm not only talking about those businesses out there. I also have to talk about and look within my own heart, within my own life. And I have to ask, Mike, am I trying to be cunning just to get something my way here in my church? It goes to point number three of how people are being tossed like children. Not only is it by doctrine or human cunning, but it's by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Has anybody ever seen a deceitful scheme? If you're a school teacher, you see deceitful schemes on a daily basis. By children, by teachers, by parents, by people in general. If you're in a workforce, I can assure you that I have heard these words before. It's a political system. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's just the way the world is. The world works many times in areas of craftiness and deceitful schemes. My question is, how often do we allow such means and such schemes to enter into the church because we are not mature members? The problem in all churches in general is that we are not maturing in Jesus Christ. We are not making disciples who make disciples who turn around and go and share the gospel of Christ with others in a way where they can make that person, after a period of time, that person would be going out and sharing God's grace with others. Many times what we are doing is we're just sharing the gospel. We're letting people get saved, and that's a great thing, but then we stop there. The problem in the church in general is that we have people who are not maturing. Well, let's look at what the purpose in church ministry is. We've seen what the problem is as Paul is writing here. He does kind of a comparison and contrast in verse number 14 and verse number 12. I want you to look at verse number 12 because there he talks about the purpose in church ministry. Verse number 12, Paul says, "It is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." What is the purpose of church ministry? It is to equip the saints. It is for equipping. It is not to come and get a good feeling. It is to come and be equipped to serve others. Now, do I think that a byproduct of that will be you having a holy goosebump, the Holy Spirit running up and down your spine, hairs standing up on your head? I believe that that can be the case. But the purpose of the church and the purpose of ministry is to equip people to go out and to share the gospel, to equip them in how to deal with the scheming ways of Satan, to equip them in days like we are experiencing this morning, to be able to stand in the face of adversity in the power of Jesus Christ. The purpose is to equip the saints for the work in ministry, and for the building up of the body of Christ. It's not to have big numbers. It's not to have the latest best show. It is for the equipping of the saints, ladies and gentlemen. That is why this church exists. That is my primary responsibility. If you look there in verse number 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. That pastor and teacher would include me. The purpose for him giving me to you is to have you equipped. It's to equip you. It's to help build systems within this church where you are being equipped, where we are equipping the saints, and we're not just coming and playing church. We're not just coming and going through the motions. We are doing something of eternal significance. We are doing something that is putting out the fires of hell in people's lives and securing their eternal salvation. The purpose of the church in ministry is equipping of the saints. Now I want you to look at verse number 13, because it's not only the purpose, but I want you to see what we are pursuing. What do we pursue in ministry here in this church? What is Paul telling them to pursue? He is telling them to pursue. The pursuit in church ministry is biblical manhood and biblical womanhood, as evidenced by the unity of faith, the unity of knowledge of the Son of God, and the measure of this. The measure of this pursuit is the stature of the fullness of Christ in our lives. How can we achieve this pursuit? So as we look at this, ladies and gentlemen, there is a such thing that Paul calls us to, and that is maturity, manhood, womanhood from a biblical standpoint, from a biblical perspective. And that can only occur if we are united in our faith. If we are united in our knowledge of the Son of God. And if we see it as the fullness of Christ. You know, last week we talked about having the fullness of God within our lives. This week we're going to talk about having the fullness of Christ. You want to understand or determine whether or not we are achieving what we are pursuing, or what Paul tells us that we should pursue? Then let me ask this question. Ask this question in front of the mirror. And it is this: how much of my life is full of Christ? How much does my life reflect Jesus Christ? And that will tell you how well we are achieving what Paul tells us we are to pursue. We are to pursue biblical manhood and womanhood, maturity in Christ Jesus. We're not to sit by the wayside and just be an infant for our whole adult life, an infant in the faith. So my question now is, how can we achieve what Paul tells us that we are to pursue? It seems like it's extremely difficult. It seems as though it stands outside of my reach. Do you ever feel that no matter how close you are getting to Jesus Christ, you're always... Mike is always falling short of the glory of God. Mike is always coming up short because of his sinfulness. Is that just me? Am I the only one that experienced that? So as I look and I have that question about, Mike, how much of my life is full of Christ? I hope today more than yesterday I hope tomorrow more than today, but I have to understand what I am pursuing. And that even though it may seem as though it is out of my reach, I need to understand, according to Scripture, it is out of my reach. It is nothing that I can achieve on my own. It is only what the Holy Spirit can do in my life. And me understanding what it truly means to surrender. What it means to surrender my life. What it means to surrender my wants. What it means to surrender the world's expectations of what a church is to be. And to look at the scriptural expectations and to hold that up before people and to say, this is what we are pursuing. This is what we want to achieve. This is why we need each other. Because I can't do it without you. I can't. Now, I've been meeting with several guys for breakfast. I've been meeting with Randy, Mr. Randy Jackson and Rob. And you know, what I want to tell you guys is I can't do life without you. I can't. We've already developed that relationship, and I look forward for those times that we're together. But what I want to share with you is I can't do life without you guys. I can't. Well, I can, but I choose not to, because you make me better. We make each other better, Dale. We make each other stronger. And as we look at this, together we are stronger. I believe together we can, through the grace of God, be better tomorrow than we are today. That we can hold up a standard of the measure of the fullness of Christ to the world, so that it is Christ who is lifted up and not me and not you and not our music or not our preaching, but it is Christ who is lifted up. You know, as I think about together, and as I think about this pursuit, how we achieve it, we must first, if you read there in verse 16, we must first, number 15, verse 15 and 16, we must first understand that Christ is the head of this church. It's not me, it's not the deacons, it's not you. It is Christ our Lord. He is the head of this church. We need to understand what it means to speak the truth in love. Many times we cloak speaking the truth in love. We come and we say, I just need to speak the truth in love to you. Have you ever heard that before? Lord have mercy. Look at me. Look at me. Speaking the truth in love is always redemptive. It is always for redemption purposes. So before we go forth and say we're doing this in love, we must always check our motives. And if our motives are not redemption, then we just need not speak truth, because many times what we will be speaking is not truth, but we will be speaking things which destroy, things which hurt. Is there a place for us to speak the truth in love? Absolutely. But it is for redemption purposes. We must understand what our role is in this church. We must understand how and why we connect. Why does it matter if we connect through the week? We must understand how and why we support. You know, understanding and working properly makes the body grow and build itself up in love. It's in love that we are built. Because it's through love that we are saved, by grace through faith. It is by love that we are built up. So let us hold love and Christ high. As we grow together as we do life together here in this place, what I want to share with you this morning is to always recognize that the problems in a church in general tend to arise because we are not maturing in our faith. We need to understand that the purpose is for equipping and that the pursuit is biblical manhood and womanhood, as evidenced by what Paul is speaking about here in Scripture. You know, on the Bible app, I have family talk, something that you would want to sit and talk to your family about as a result of this sermon. And it's simply 12 questions there. Do I understand my place in this body or in this fellowship? Do I understand how ministries are connected? Do I understand that there's a system to everything that we do here and that there's not one ministry that stands alone by itself? That everything is connected. And we need to have a systemic view as we begin to equip people, as we begin to serve in our areas of ministry. Because it's not just one place where we're serving, and it's not just one. If one is unhealthy, it tends to allow the rest of them to be somewhat unhealthy as well. We understand how ministries are connected? Do we allow Christ to be head of the church? What is biblical manhood and womanhood to you? What does that mean? Am I still a child in the faith? And how can I tell? How can I tell if I'm still an infant? Well, there are ways that you can't tell. Are you growing? And if you are not growing, I would dare say that you are dying. If there's no growth in an organism, I believe that there is death that is beginning to take hold of it. Not only am I growing or am I dying, but am I dead spiritually, or am I on spiritual life support? These are questions that we need to be asking ourselves. You know, the key to church growth, I believe, is church health. And church health begins with having a balance to ministry. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, talks about five things. Those five things are evangelism, discipleship, worship, ministry, and fellowship. Did I say fellowship already? There are five. At the top, where I ask those questions, what are the key to church growth? I mentioned five things. Those are the five things that Rick Warren talks about. It's not that we can only do one of them, but we have to be balanced across all five of those. You know, there's a story that I want to show you here. It's a powerful story. This story reminds me a little bit of Mr. Alex back here. It's a story of Team Hoyt. It's a story about a father who he and his wife, they have this child, and because of a tragic accident at birth, this child is unable to walk and is in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He's unable to talk. Through technology, there was an ability for him to be able to tell his dad that he wanted to run in a 5-mile race. And from that day on, his dad began to run, pushing his son. I want you to watch this, and I want you to have this question on your mind, to be thinking this: how are we stronger together? Because I need you to understand that you make me stronger, that you make this church stronger, that we make each other stronger. You are my Mr. Hoyt.